نحمد المسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم رب زدنا علما ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. Beloved, respected listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, us gathering here now after Maghrib is the second day of this new year. We just finished the first day of this new year. Alhamdulillah, we read Salatul Maghrib of the first day, finishing on the second day, starting of the new year, we read with Jamaat in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah enable us to. This is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who reads his Isha Salat and Fajr Salat with Jamaat in the masjid, it's like he's done Qiyam, worship all through the night. So Allah enable us to frequent the masjid. The frequent. Just yesterday or the day before, I was talking to 2-3 friends in the morning and I said, you know, some way, some connection we should have with something of deen. There are people in the Salaf, in the past, who had some connection with some aspect of deen. There were people who were very much connected to the Qur'an. Just yesterday, we were at Dawat at a friend's house, Sayyid Abdul Qahir's new condominium started, and there was one, two ulamas too, there was one on Farhan too. And he was telling about this one Hafiz, 25 years old, very lovely voice. He was the son of his teacher in Pakistan, he goes. And he was leading Tarawi. And when he came to the ayat, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, that everything is to perish. Everything. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. And only Allah ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Allah will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ, whose kingdom for today? إِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. Nobody answer. Nobody to answer. Not even Jibreel. Not even Mikael. Not even the Malikul Maut, the angel of death. Nobody. One by one, all the angels finish, collapse, everything. And Allah will say, whose kingdom is it? Whose kingdom for today? Whose kingdom is it today? And Allah Himself will answer, إِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. So this young boy, 25 years old, leading Tarawi, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ, collapse, and he went to Allah. He was connected to the Qur'an, he had such a beautiful voice. There are people connected to the masjid, مُعَلَّكُمْ. There will be 7 such people who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there will be no shade but the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is thrown. There will be no shade but the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know. Zilla Arshi? Yeah. Zilla Arshi hi muftisa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is thrown. That there will be 7 who will be under. And in other narrations there are others too. But in this specific hadith of Bukhari Muslim, 7. And one is Rujalun Qalbuhu Mu'allakum Bil Masajid. A man whose heart is mu'allak, hanging in the masjid. He comes for Fajr Salat with Jamaat in the masjid. He read behind the imam, and then he goes to his job. He's gone to his job now. And he thinks, oh, my Zuhr Salat, I have to read at job. Oh, my Zuhr Salat, I have to read at school, college, university. Oh, I can't wait till it's Asr. Or I can't wait till it's Maghrib. Nowadays Asr is very early. I can't wait till it's Maghrib. I'm going to move back to the masjid. So his heart, his body, physical, he's out there, but his heart is in the masjid. His heart is in the masjid. So nisbat, some connection with the mosque, some connection with the Quran, some connection with the sunnah, some connection with the people, pious people, some connection with Allah's house, some connection with Makkah, some connection with Medina. We don't know, because you know what? The main thing is how you go. Innamal a'malu bin niyat, like that. Indeed, actions are according to intention. Innamal a'malu bil khawatim, actions are according to the endings. I hope we ended this year that just passed in good a'mal. And our ending to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we meet Allah, is in a manner that Allah is pleased with us. So some way, a person is connected to the work of Da'wat and Tabligh, he does that. At the iftitah, opening ceremony of the Masjid al-Salihin in Malton on Airport Road, that beautiful masjid. My father-in-law, when he talked, he talked, and he said a story of in Zambia. He goes, when the government at that time, this is about 25 years before, 30 years before, they made official law now that no foreigners can have business here. And mashallah, all the Muslims from India and all those countries have business over there. So everybody had to close down their business, and people were thinking of going back at that time, right? There was one old man. And you know, in the villages, they start masjid. Wherever Muslims go, inshallah, they start masjid. So there was one masjid there that they started. So the kids are all getting ready. His whole family, his daughter-in-law, son-in-law, everybody's getting back. And they're saying, Dad, we're going. No, I'm not going nowhere. I'm staying here. Dad, but we can't do business, nothing. He goes, no. If Allah gives, whatever Allah gives. But I'm staying here because we've started a masjid here. And this masjid, if we go, there'll be all spider webs and the masjid will be nothing. There'll be no masjid. What I will do here is my job now from today is I will take care of the masjid. I will sweep it. I will also give adhan. I will also do imamat. Because there was no alim, no nobody. And those natives, they don't know much of the Quran or anything. Africans. So he said, I will do everything. But I will take care of the masjid. I will take care of... He left all his family and he stayed there in that village by himself. Look at his death. Where did he die? He died at the mother of all the masajids. Masjidul Haram, he died there in front of Baytullah. Why? You're connected to my house. Come here. This is the way Allah grabs you. This is the way Allah grabs you. You walk to Allah, Allah runs to you. Allahu Akbar, the Hadith Qudsi says, beloved friends, get connected to something of deen, to something. Right? In this, Mufti Sahib was going to do the talk, but I'm just waiting for some people to come. You don't need people to come. We don't need a big audience. We can have one sincere heart. Because of that, we're all blessed. Today, people make big notice boards and big posters and big islands and that. Even Mufti Sahib, we were talking about it. And this is not a bayan or a speech and that we're going to go back, oh, Maulana Zakaria did a good speech, Mufti Sahib done a very odd, did you hear that, did you hear this? Maulana Zakaria sang a good song and, oh, because I'm going to do a qasida at the end too, inshallah, if Allah wills, if Allah doesn't give me death before then. So, this is not that. In fact, right now my introduction is that why have we come here? First is intention. One reason why, it says in a hadith, Imam Tirmizi has narrated a hadith, مَنْ خَرَجَ فِي طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ. A person who goes out to seek knowledge, he's in the path of Allah until he returns home. One reason, inshallah, that we came is not for bayan. No. We came for Maghrib Salat with Jamaat, and inshallah, if Allah wills, the time we spend in the masjid in Atikaf, and inshallah, listen to the talk of deen as a talib ilm, a student. If a person has a back problem, he's an old man, like I have a back problem, so sometimes I even have to give, they're sitting on a chair. But otherwise, a person should not even lean. We sat only two ways in front of our teachers, two and three ways. They like the way we sit in tashahud, or one like this and one up like this. And if we got tired, then we put our one leg like that, like the shawafi sit in after in their thing, like the tafarrush, like the spreading the leg out like that. That's it. There's three ways. We never sat even cross-legged. We never ever lean. How can you in front of a teacher? This is the way a talib ilm, and with eagerness, listen. Why? When you do that as a true talib, Allah will put it into your heart, and inshallah you'll think. The main purpose is to get... Look, if it's a 10-minute, 20-minute, 30-minute, half an hour, 1 hour, 40-minute bayan, you're not going to get everything. But even one, two things and you change your life or you put something into practice. We don't know what deed that Allah accepts from us and through that Allah forgives us. So maybe you might pick up one thing and you change your life, beloved friends. And the sisters, the brothers pick up something and they change their life. And this is the purpose you should have whenever you go to any conferences. Don't go like it's a conference and whose speech is, they're going to be that speech and this speech and we're going to listen to speech. No, not that. Go for the sick. So Allah make us connected to something. Get connected to something of deen, Quran, hadith, the work of da'wah and tabligh. Get connected. He was telling, my father-in-law told a story of one the uncles, they went out for gush, they were coming back, and whilst they were talking, he said some hadith or something, about death or something, and then at the time, he came in the masjid doing ta'lim, he put his head back like this, and he passed away. always in the work of da'wat. This is the way he passed away.
Allah gives death like this. Listen to many, many thousands of stories. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib in Lahore, just yesterday we were talking about him, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib's son. And just bayan. And somebody said, how did it go? He goes, a rose came, and that's the way my ruh came out. A fragrant smelling that somebody saw in a dream the next day. How did it go? This is the way his ruh came out. It's not easy. Allahumma inna ala ghamratin mawtu sakaratin mawtu. Oh, Rasulullah was sweat too, and he was saying, Allah, Allah, this is, you know, death, the sakarat, the pangs of death. Allah, give us a good death. Allah, give me, because connected. Beloved friends. So this is the main purpose, is our real life, the life hereafter. For this is the short time we have in the dunya. Inshallah, Mufti Sahib will talk. Right now, the Kirat, it said Hafiz Arif Patel. It was Arif Sheikh, but he has work at home. He's doing construction work, so he's not here. But Alhamdulillah, we have another guest. He's also Imam here sometimes. Hafiz Khalil here. And many times, if I'm not around, he's thing. Hafiz Khalil, it's not good to praise anybody. We don't have all this interest, custom that he's this or he's that. Allah is the greatest. Right? But I'll just tell you nisbat. I was talking about nisbat connection. His father was the Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Maulana Khalil. Hazrat Maulana Ghulam Desai. Hazrat Maulana, he didn't have to tell me. I remember his father's name. Hazrat Maulana Ghulam Desai rahmatullahi alayhi. Him, my Shaykh, and my father-in-law, they grew up together with Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi. He passed away. Hazrat Maulana Ghulam Desai. Right? That was his father, Khalifa Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi alayhi. Very great personality, mashallah. And Hafiz Khalil, sometimes he comes here if I'm not around and Mufti Abdullah is not here, he'll lead salat too. So inshallah, he will just read some Quran ayats, whatever Allah puts in his heart, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to benefit from the recitation of the Holy Quran. Allah give us true nisbah with the Quran and hadith.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا ومكروا مكرا كبارا وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا وقد أضلوا كثيرا ولا تزد الظالمين إلا ضلالا مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا فلم تجدوا لهم من دون الله إلا أنصارا صدق الله العظيم.
جزاكم الله خيرا. He just read some ayats of Surah Nuh. Surah Nuh, look, Allah gave Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam a life of his da'wat life. وَلَكَدْ رَسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. Surah Al-Ankabut, in the 20th Juz, in the second ruku, Allah mentions this. وَلَكَدْ رَسَلْنَا, we send Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to his people. And for 950 years, he gave da'wat to his people. Meanwhile, iman today, beloved friends. Did we strive for it? Did we achieve it? Did we achieve it? Did we strive for it? Have we worked for it? Did we do anything for it? Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's son was not a believer. 950 years, very less people accepted him. And then Allah sent the flood that destroyed everybody. Everybody. Everything on the earth besides the believers. And those animals that Allah took. Told Nuh alayhi salam or something. Imagine. 950 years of da'wah. And I was talking one time, my mothers, my daughters, and my sisters are here, probably downstairs. It's so important
that the first lap of the child,
the mother,
the first learning of the child, the first teacher of the child is the mother. It's so important that she is pious.
I said that every prophet, we see every prophet, the Isa alayhi salatu wasalam have a father? His mother was Maryam. That's only the woman mentioned in the Quran. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he even ever see his father? He stayed with Amina, always Aman. He stayed with Halima, full of him. And Umm Ayman, Barakah brought him up. Barakah blessing all the time, all his life. Until he even passed away, Barakah was there. Umm Ayman. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Bukhari, born blind. His mother is crying, oh my son, I wanted him for knowledge, my son, my beloved son. She sees Ibrahim in the dream. Imam Bukhari's mother, your son is restored his eyesight back. Next morning, she checks her son. Imam Bukhari is seeing Ibrahim, his mother. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's wife was وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مَرَاتَ نُوحٍ وَمَرَاتَ لُوتٍ. And Allah gives an example. ضَرَبَ also giving example. Allah gives an example and Allah mentions that of Nuh and Lut's wife. They were both kafirah. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is crying to his son. He's begging him, Ya, oh my son, get onto this boat with us. Get onto this ark and bring iman. No, قَالَ سَعَبِلَا جَبَلِي يَعْصِمُونِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. I'm going to take refuge on this great mountain. There's no way that you can take refuge in anything to it. But only Allah will have mercy on that one and he's safe. Otherwise, no way you're going to be safe. And he cried too. And Allah said, hey, no, he's not from your ahad. In no way, semi nothing. Beloved friends, and Allah has given us iman. Allah keep us with iman. So Allah enable us to have true connection with the Quran, ponder over the Quran, what Allah says. It's full of these wisdoms and full of these things. And even our mothers and our sisters, too, Allah change them, Allah change all of us. And Allah make us a means of guidance for all mankind too. And Allah accept us all. Inshallah, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab is, I'm not going to introduce Mufti Saab because it's not prohibited in the thing, he'll take the mic off me. But Mufti Saab is also here as he also has downstairs. And also, Mufti Saab has an alim class. We should benefit, and if brothers are interested in even joining the alim class, inshallah, you can join inshallah. So Mufti Saab, Mufti Abdullah, God to whom, inshallah, and he will talk to us, inshallah, and give us for Jewish Muharram, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidi al-Anbiya wa ba'an. Faqad qala Allah ta'ala, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna iddata ash-shuhur inda Allah 12 shahran fi kitabillah. يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم Dear respected brothers and elders, sisters, inshallah I'll be mentioning some points of the month of Muharram, which is the first month of the Islamic calendar. And I'm actually really anxious to get to the last part of this program to listen to Sheikh sing some poems for us. So that will be the highlight of this program, inshallah. So I'll just try to touch up on some facts, inshallah, about Muharram. And I want to speak a little about the virtues that are mentioned of Muharram or the importance of it. And secondly, some misconceptions, or you can say misunderstandings or misrepresentations of this month. And then thirdly, a message that we should take back from the importance of this event. So first of all, the month of Muharram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an himself mentions that according to Allah, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12, that according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the months of the year are 12. Meaning Allah has designed this universe that it goes through one cycle within 12 months. From the time Allah has created the heavens and the earth, this cycle has been maintained. A 12-month cycle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies this in the Qur'an. So these 12 months are not random. This is through the divine design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The design of this universe, this earth, that it follows this cycle of 12 months. From amongst them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. There are 4 months from these 12 that Allah regards sacred. Allah Himself regards them sacred. مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified which 4 months they are. He said, ذُو الْقَعْدَةِ ذُو الْحِجَّةِ and Muharram, 3 months that come in sequence. Because after Ramadan is Shawwal, and then ذُو الْقَعْدَةِ ذُو الْحِجَّةِ, the last 2 months, and the first month of the Islamic calendar, Muharram. These are 3 months from the 4 sacred months that come one after the other. And the fourth, he said, وَرَجَبُ مُضَرْ, the Rajab of Mudar. The Prophet ﷺ clarified that it is the month of Rajab, which occurs between Jumad al-Ukhra and Sha'ban. Because there was another Rajab according to some Arabic tribes, which was called the Rajab of Rabi'ah. There was another Arabic tribe. They used to consider the month of Rajab the month that occurs between Sha'ban and Shawwal, which we call Ramadan. They used to call that Rajab. So the Prophet has clarified that by saying the Rajab which is sacred in the eyes of Allah is the Rajab which occurs between Jumad al-Ukhra and Sha'ban. This is also a sacred month. And in regards to its sacredness, and in regards to everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sacred, there are many things Allah mentions in the Qur'an that Allah has made sacred, like the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacrificing the animals that are sacrificed. Many other mentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَّهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Another verse of Surah Al-Hajj where he says, إِنَّا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. There are things in this religion, every part of this religion is blessed, is sacred, but there are things specific parts of this religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctified Himself. The haram itself, the two harams, Madinatul Munawwara, the haram of Makkatul Mukarrama. And then, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these months, many other things. Allah says that those who rever and sanctify and consider sacred these things, this is from the taqwa of the heart. That there are many things of this religion that we need to respect. We need to show respect to. We need to consider sacred. One of the tragedies of this time is that the sacredness of many parts of our religion have left the hearts of the believers. And that's why, just simple examples, people do not consider the book of Allah to be sacred anymore. So they will hold it like any other book they hold, a textbook. You might see people that are using it as pillows. I've seen it myself. They use the Qur'an as pillows. They will be sleeping in the masjid with the Qur'an under their head. They will be sitting in the masjid, leaning against the wall of the Kaaba, the Qibla. And this is something the Sahaba radiallahu anhu themselves, I just was reading yesterday in Hayatul Sahaba, a narration of what the Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to dislike in the masjid. And there's a narration of, I believe, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that he saw a person sitting leaning against the wall of the Qibla. So he said that, what are you doing? You're leaning against the wall of the Qibla. It's as if you are becoming an obstacle between the angels who are praying to Allah, between the angels and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they regarded this to be a violation of the sanctity of the masjid. And the Qibla was a sacred direction, and it should be respected and honored, and many other things that we will see. The older people in our community, they're very staunch on these issues, and they have a basis for it, that they have this respect for these signs of the religion, sha'air, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and to have respect for them, and they would not let anything violate this respect. That's why it's very difficult for them to see people doing these things. Because it's a sign of sacredness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they respect it. So this is part of the religion. This is not like an innovation, a bid'ah, to respect the sha'air of Allah. to respect those things that are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are attached to the religion that Allah has considered sacred. This is from the deen. And this is not something that has come out from outside the deen. And therefore we should take heed and take lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers these 4 months to be sacred. So we should also consider them to be sacred. The month of Muharram that we have commenced, the Mufassirun say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered this month to be sacred, therefore every good action in this month is also multiplied. And every misdeed in this month is also taken very seriously, because these are sacred months. So in this month and all the other sacred months, we should be extra careful that this is a sacred month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered this to be sacred. And its sanctity actually began from the time of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. This was from their sunnah, that they considered these 4 months to be very holy and sacred. And in these 4 months, there would be no warfare between the tribes. There would be no conflict. Everyone would be at peace with each other. And they would not violate each and any other people's rights. And because they had respect for these 4 months. This was the teachings of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. And the Arabs preserved this. And they used to show their utmost respect for these months. But there was, as the generations went down, there was a point in the... In the time of the Arabs, where they started not violating the sanctity, they started playing with it. They started playing with these months. And Allah mentions this in the Quran also by saying, إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. That people who play with the sanctity of these months, there was a person, there are different narrations as to who started this. Some people say it was Amr ibn Luhay, the one who introduced idol worshipping in the Arabs. Before that, the Arab generations, many of the, if you look at the books of Seerah, and you look at the forefathers of the Prophet ﷺ, all the way back to Ma'ad ibn Adnan, many of the forefathers, the Prophet ﷺ himself said they were on the millah, the deen of Ibrahim ﷺ, meaning they had passed away as believers, and we should not say anything bad about them. It was till this person, Amr ibn Luhay, came, that he was from the Khuza'a, and he was a leader that people respected, and whatever he said was considered to be law. He was such an important person within the tribes of the Arabs, and he on return from a journey to Syria, he introduced idol worshipping, and the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned that he saw in his dream, he saw Amr ibn Luhay in the hellfire, dragging his entrails, dragging his intestines. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the reason by saying, "Huwa awwalu man baddala deen al-Arab." He was the first one who changed the deen of the Arabs from worshipping according to the teachings of Ibrahim and Ismail to worshipping idols. Nevertheless, some people say he was the one who introduced this nasi. Now, what was nasi? What they used to do was that they used to play with the sanctity of these months according to their own desires. So in the month of Dhul Hijjah, if there was an incident that occurred where they needed to attack someone, one tribe needed to attack another tribe, or they needed to do something that they would not do in these sacred months, what they would do was one person, a leader from the Arabs, would stand up and he would announce that next month, which is Muharram, after Dhul Hijjah, he would say next month is Safar, meaning the month after. And in Safar will be Muharram. They would change it around. So next month, so this month is Muharram, they would say this month is Safar. They would make this announcement. So everyone would consider, oh, this month is Safar, so it's not sacred anymore. So they would start fighting amongst each other, they would start looting and whatever wrongs they were doing outside the sacred months, they would start doing it in what they called Safar, which was actually Muharram. But they just changed it in their own terminology. And then the next month they would say, okay, this month is Muharram now, which was actually Safar. And they used to do this according to their desires. And this is what the Qur'an terms as Nasi. إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this practice of Nasi, changing the months, is actually a practice of disbelief. It's actually an increase in their disbelief, in their idol worshipping, in their ignorance. يُحِلُّونَهُ عَامًا وَيُحَرِّمُونَهُ عَامًا. That in some years they would make it sacred, in other years they would de-sanctify it. And they would make it halal for themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to this practice and said this is a practice of kufr. And at the time of Hajjatul Wada', when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his farewell pilgrimage, this was in the 10th year of Hijrah. In the 9th year of Hijrah, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he performed, he was the Amir of the Hajj in the 9th year of Hijrah. And in that year also, because of this practice of Nasi, the months had been changed. So these the actual month of Dhul Hijjah, Mufassirun also say that sometimes what they would do was they would move months forward. And instead of, for example, they would name Muharram as Safar, and they would name Safar as Rabiul Awwal. Rabiul Awwal would be Rabiul Akhir. And in this way, they would continue this. So the Hajj of the Arabs that was occurring, that was supposed to be in Dhul Hijjah, but in reality, it was occurring in different months throughout the year because of this practice of bringing forward months. So the Mufassirun say that the year Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did his Hajj, it was also in Dhul Hijjah, but it was not the Dhul Hijjah that it should have been. The next year when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Hajj, Hajjatul Wada', the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself gave a khutbah on Yawm al-Nahr, on the day of Eid, and he said that إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ قَدْ إِسْتَدَارَ كَهَيْئَتِهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That the time and the months have come back to the way they originally were the day Allah had created the heavens and the earth. Meaning the year the Prophet ﷺ performed Hajj, it was truly Dhul Hijjah. It was the month that it should have been, and it was truly Dhul Hijjah. And the Prophet ﷺ clarified this and said that this is how the initiation, or this is how the world started with this calculation. That we are in the true month of Dhul Hijjah now, and after that, the date has been preserved till today. And this is how the Prophet ﷺ clarified that the practice of Nasi that had affected these dates has now been abrogated and has now been clarified, and the dates have returned to their original form. And therefore there should be no confusion in regards to the dates and the sanctity of this month. Nevertheless, the sanctity of these 4 months and this practice of the people of the Arabs and the disbelievers, and how they used to change these, the sanctity of Muharram is also from those 4 months. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged this month. He said that there is no better month to fast after Ramadan than Shahrullah al-Muharram, than the month of Allah Muharram. Meaning that this is the best month that the believers should fast in, because it's sacred, and because there are many significant events that have been attached to this month. And one significant event is the event of Musa alayhi salam becoming victorious over the people of Fir'aun and his people. It was on the 10th of Muharram that Musa alayhi salam, Allah gave victory to Musa alayhi salam and destroyed Fir'aun and his army. And that is why the Jews, they continued the practice of fasting on the 10th of Muharram. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached Medina, he asked about this, that why are the Jews fasting on this day? And he was told that the Jews consider this day to be the day Musa alayhi salam and Banu Israel attained salvation from Fir'aun. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we are more deserving to respect this day because of our brother Musa alayhi salam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encouraged the fasting of the 10th of Muharram. And before the fasting of Ramadan was made compulsory, the 10th of Muharram was fard. The fasting of the 10th of Muharram was fard. Like Ramadan is fard now for us, the fasting of the 10th of Muharram was fard. Until Ramadan was made fard, after that the fasting of the 10th of Muharram was made optional. It was a nafil fast, but the Prophet ﷺ encouraged it. So therefore, not only fasting on the 10th of Muharram, but throughout the month, and then trying to specifically fast on the 10th of Muharram, as well as one day before. Because the Prophet ﷺ, when he was told that the Jews, they also fast on this day, he did not want to imitate them. Because the Prophet ﷺ, there was a time when the Prophet ﷺ reached Medina that he tried to be compatible with the Jews, so that they could understand the religion of Islam and they can accept it. But after the years went by in Medina, and the Prophet ﷺ saw that the Jewish people are not budging, and even though they know the truth of Islam, even though they know that he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not accepting the message that the Prophet ﷺ has brought to them, and therefore the Prophet ﷺ lost hope in them. So then he started encouraging the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and the believers to start doing things differently, not to imitate the Jews. And one of these practices, he said, if the Jews are fasting on the 10th of Muharram, we should fast at least one. If I stay alive for the next year, I will fast also on the 9th. So to fast on the 9th and the 10th is encouraged, is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ of Muharram. If someone cannot do it on the 9th, on the 11th, to just join one fast with the 10th of Muharram, so that this practice that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged can also be implemented. So therefore, the fasting of the 10th of Muharram, there are many other events. It is also mentioned in the narrations that Yawmul Qiyamah will occur on the 10th of Muharram. Gee. Have you heard that? Yeah. Nevertheless, other events that are attached to this month and the sanctity of this month, especially the 10th of Muharram. So therefore, overall the whole month we should consider, because the Qur'an itself clarifies us that this is a sacred month. So the first of Muharram till the last of Muharram, we should try to check ourselves. Are we preserving the sanctity of this month, or are we violating it? And inshallah, may Allah give us all the tawfiq to maintain the sanctity of this month. The second point I wanted to make, that people attach the sanctity of this month and its sacredness to the shahada of Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no doubt the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away on the 10th of Muharram. And the most we can say is that he passed away on a blessed day, the 10th of Muharram. The 10th of Muharram is blessed from before. Hussein radiallahu anhu passed away in the year 61 after Hijrah. 61 years after Hijrah. Almost 50 years after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, the sanctity of the day of Muharram is not due to the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu. Actually, Hussein radiallahu anhu's martyrdom occurred on a sacred day, on a very blessed day. And therefore, usually in many places, it may be in this city also, that on this day of the 10th of Muharram, or sometime before or after it, people tend to have these gatherings in which they glorify and they talk about the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu. And because of this, this idea has set into the ummah that Muharram is blessed because of the martyrdom of Hussein, which is not true. Muharram was blessed from before time, from many, a long time ago. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered it blessed in the Quran before the shahada of Hussein radiallahu anhu. So therefore, that is why I don't want to mention this narration of the shahada of Hussein radiallahu anhu. Although I do want to mention one very interesting point, which Shah Abdul Aziz Dahlawi rahimahullah has made in a little booklet that I have regarding the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu, actually both brothers, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum, they were the grandsons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhuma, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered them to be his children when they were born. When Hassan radiallahu anhu was born, he was the older one. He went to the household and he took his son and he said, "Where is my son?" He considered Hassan to be his own son. He said, "Where is my son?" He took Hassan and he asked the family, Ali radiallahu anhu, "What have you named him?" And he said, "I've named him Harb." All right, so that he can grow up and become very courageous and strong. Harb means war. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "No, his name is Hassan." So they said, "His name is Hassan." When Hussein radiallahu anhu was born, the same incident occurred. The Prophet ﷺ went to their house and he took Hussein radiallahu anhu and he said, "Where is my son? Give me my son." And he said, "What have you named him?" Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Harb. You didn't let me keep the first one, Harb. So the second one is Harb." Prophet said, no, his name is Hussein, radiallahu anhum. There was a third son, which also, he was born, the Prophet also went, and he asked him, what have you named him? And he said, his name is Harb. And he said, no, his name is Muhsin. So the Prophet himself, he loved them so much. And there are many narrations, we don't want to go into them, it's going to be very long. So of how the Prophet used to love them, he used to play with them, he used to bring them to the masjid, and there are many incidents regarding that. The Prophet also called them Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah, that these are the they will be the leaders of the youth of paradise, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. So the Prophet ﷺ's love for both of them was unlimited. And the books of hadith are filled with incidents regarding the Prophet ﷺ and his grandsons, Hassan and Hussein. Shah Abdul Aziz Dahlawi rahimullah mentions a very important point, interesting point. And he says that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, who was the last of prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with all the characteristics that the previous prophets were blessed with, and even more. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Adam alayhi salam, had given Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and all of the prophets before him, Allah had given these characteristics to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Allah had blessed the Prophet ﷺ with all those characteristics of the prophets before him. And we cannot numerate the qualities of the Prophet ﷺ and all those virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the Prophet ﷺ with. But then he mentioned that there was one quality which can be put into two, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not consider the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be appropriate for, although this was one of the greatest virtues, and that was shahada, martyrdom. That this is a virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses people with. People give their lives for the sake of Allah, in the path of Allah, for the deen of Allah, and this is a virtue. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the fountain of virtues, and how could he be deprived of shahada? How could the Prophet ﷺ be deprived of shahada? So Shah Abdul Aziz rahimahullah says, Allah did not deprive the Prophet ﷺ of the virtue of shahada, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet ﷺ with shahada, not by himself, but by a part of his family. That Allah subhanahu, because the shahada of the Prophet ﷺ was not appropriate for the Prophet ﷺ to be shaheed in the battlefield, the Prophet ﷺ to be shaheed in this ummah would have created great fitna, and was not appropriate for the status of the Prophet ﷺ. But Allah did not want to deprive the Prophet ﷺ of being attributed to this virtue. So Allah chose two of his grandsons, who were the most closest to him, who were a part of him. Allah chose them for this virtue of shahada. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave shahada to his two grandsons. And because there are two types of shahada, one is the shahada that is very common and that is known, that a person gives his life in the battlefield while in combat, and a person is killed and his blood is coming out of his body and he's there lying on the ground. This is the shahada which we call shahadatul alaniya, the shahada which is open. And one is shahada which is shahadatul sir, this low or quiet shahada, that a person is not in the battlefield but he is killed by someone, by other means which are unknown. And the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned many incidents that a person dies because of, and he is considered to be a shaheed, right? Like the person who dies due to the sickness of the stomach, al-mabtoon, he is also considered to be a shaheed. And then there are other forms of shahada. So shahada to sir, to be shaheed in a secret way, or a quiet manner, and not in the open way. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not appropriate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this shahada to his two grandsons. And Hassan radiallahu anhu, he was also considered to be shaheed. Hassan radiallahu anhu was poisoned by his wife due to being bribed by some other individual. She poisoned Hassan radiallahu anhu, and Hassan radiallahu anhu died of this poison. Eventually he died, he passed away due to being poisoned. And this was the shahada of Hassan radiallahu anhu. Hassan radiallahu anhu passed away in the year 49 Hijrah. He was born 3 years after Hijrah, in the third year of Hijrah, after the Prophet had migrated to Medina. Hassan radiallahu anhu was born in the third year, and he passed away in the year 49. He lived almost 45 years. He was 45 years old. And the Prophet ﷺ gave some glad tidings of Hassan radiallahu anhu by saying that this grandson of mine, he will be the cause of uniting my ummah. Two groups within my ummah that will be conflicting with each other, Hassan radiallahu anhu will be the means of joining these two groups. And it happened such that because there was an argument regarding the khilafah and who should be the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hassan radiallahu anhu, after ruling for 6 months, he gave up the leadership to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and both groups that were arguing with each other, they came together and the ummah was united by this decision of Hassan radiallahu anhu. And by the way, the 6 months that Hassan radiallahu anhu was Amir al-Mu'mineen, that is the ending of Khilafatul Rashida. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khilafatul Rashida, al-khilafa ala minhaj al-nubuwa, the khilafa on the way of nubuwa will remain for 30 years. And when the historians calculated, the 30 years finished at the 6 months of Hassan radiallahu anhu. The Khilafa al-Rashida is considered to be at the ending of Hassan radiallahu anhu's Khilafa, and he gave it to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And Hussein, and like we say, he passed away in the year 45 because of being poisoned. And this is the Shahada of Hassan. Hussein radiallahu anhu was Shaheed, and he was Shaheed in the year 61 Hijrah. And his Shahada occurred on the 10th of Muharram. And many narrations regarding his Shahada. And we can, like I said, I don't want to go into this. One of the reasons is that the narrations that have been mentioned in books of history, books of seerah, have been contaminated to a great degree. The narrations regarding the Shahada of Hussein radiallahu anhu, because there was a group of people that had showed more than allowed love for Hassan radiallahu anhu, Hussein radiallahu anhu, for Ali radiallahu anhu, and they transgressed all bounds in expressing their love for Hussein radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, their family. They crossed the bounds of Sharia, and they went outside the boundaries that Sharia, the parameters that the Sharia had set for the love of the household of the Prophet. And the Prophet himself has set boundaries. He said that the love of the Prophet ﷺ is part of Iman. But then the Prophet ﷺ also said that, do not make my grave a place of worship. Don't take my love so far that you make me a god. The Prophet ﷺ prevented this. The same with his family. And there were people that took his love too far. And at the occasion of his martyrdom, there were many narrations that had been fabricated to exalt the character and the personality of Hussein radiallahu anhu to what it may not have been, right? To exalt it more than it should have, and to demonize those people who were so called against Hussein radiallahu anhu to such an extent that even innocent people have been tainted and contaminated because of these reports. So the scholars consider these reports that have been mentioned about the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu to be unreliable. And it's very tricky and difficult to consider any narration to be authentic and to say that this is exactly what happened on that day. It's very difficult to say that. When we read the books of seerah, there are many narrations that we may not even believe, that are beyond our comprehension. And many of those narrations are because of these fabrications and these misinterpretations that have been included in the books and that could not be sifted out from the authentic ones. So because of this contamination of reports, it's very difficult to paint an authentic picture as to what really happened. And that is why many scholars disapprove the narration of the incident of the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu, because we may be narrating reports that are not authentic and that have been fabricated and that may cause confusion. So therefore, this is why they discourage the mere narration in gatherings like this. And then to commemorate the incident of the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu on this occasion, it really coincides with the practices of people who are outside the boundaries of Islam. And therefore they discourage this, that we should not be encouraging these kind of gatherings, because we'll just be doing like everyone else is doing, and many of those who are not within the fold of Sharia, not within the teachings of Islam, and we're doing exactly like they are doing. And there are many other signs of these practices creeping into our own practices, and like there are many people who they say the name of Ali radiallahu anhu with Imam. They say Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, and no one else says, they don't use the word Imam with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, with Umar radiallahu anhu, with Uthman radiallahu anhu, with any other Sahabi except for these three, Ali radiallahu anhu, Hassan and Hussein. They say Imam Ali, and this is because that they have a concept of imamat. They have a concept of their 12 imams, and their imams are considered to be higher than prophets. And their greatest imam is Imam Ali radiallahu anhu. And this has crept into the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah also. And they use the word imam with these three personalities. They used the prayer alayhi salam that we use for prophets. They would say Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We can see that in many books. And so therefore some people go to the extent to say that even in the Jum'ah khutbah, in khutbatul Jum'ah, where we praise the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we praise Fatima radiallahu anha, Ali radiallahu anhu, Hassan and Hussein, some people say this has also crept in. Because these people made it a point in the Jum'ah khutbah to praise this family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to rever them, and this was made a part of the Jum'ah khutbah. Whereas this was not something that was a sunnah practice or a practice that was practiced all over the Islamic world. This has crept in from these ideologies. So therefore, that is why we don't want to go into the details of the incident of the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, this is something that is attached to the 10th of Muharram and the month of Muharram. Thirdly and lastly, I want to finish on this point, is considering, because we have gathered here to commemorate and to celebrate the new year, right? The Islamic new year with this blessed month of Muharram. And usually when we talk about new year, right? New Year's Day resolutions, right? We make resolutions. What do we want to do in the year to come? And to what have we done in the year that has gone by? Because these are the months that go by, the first month of the year, soon it will be the last month, right? We're starting with the first month, soon it will be Dhul-Hijjah, right? It will come sooner than we think. And this is one of the signs that the Prophet ﷺ talked about. And he said towards the end of times, سَتَكُونُ السَّنَةُ كَالشَّهَرُ وَالشَّهَرُ كَالْيَوْمُ, that a time will come when a year will pass by like it was only a month, and a month will pass by like a day, and a day passes by like seconds. The Prophet ﷺ said a time will come. And an indication in this hadith is towards the blessings of time being taken out. And we all are experiencing this. We can't even believe that it was just Friday and it's Jummah again. It was just the weekend. The weekend's finished, and before we know it, the weekend's here again. And we find ourselves mentioning to others, "Wow, the week just flew by." I mean, it was just Ramadan. We are still tasting the past Ramadan, and Ramadan is already here. That's the way time will fly by. And this, one of the indications is that the blessings of time will be taken out. So this aspect of the new year has to do with time, right? The new year is a time of the year which has come upon us, and it will come again, and it will keep on coming. And this should give us a reminder of the importance of time, right? Because we are time. Our existence is time. يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامُ. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah says, يَبْنَ آدَمْ, O son of Adam, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامُ. You are only but days. إِذَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكُ. Once a day is gone, part of you is gone. That will never come back again. So this is time. Time is our life. Every breath that we are taking. And that is why our salaf, our pious predecessors, they would respect and they would rever and consider every second of their life to be sacred. Not only these special occasions, but every second of their life was sacred to them. And they would encourage people to understand the importance of time, how important time is. And one of the reasons of the blessings of time being taken out in the last part of this ummah, in our day and age, one of the reasons why we find our time to be void of blessing, that there's no blessings, there's no barakah in our time, is because we misuse our time a lot. We're not using our time the way we should. We're not valuing this time. Right? We spend hours and hours just wasting time. Just wasting it. If we really look into our lives, there will be hours a day that we're doing nothing. We're not in our dunya, nor are we in our deen. And every day of our life is going by like this. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, used to say, "A'udhu billahi min suhbatil battalin." I seek Allah's protection from the company of the battalin. Those who are just wasting their time. Those who are hanging around. And this is a sickness, especially within our youth. Right? They consider wasting time to be like their pastime. Right? What do you want to do? Let's just go out to the coffee shop. Right? And they'll sit there for 2 hours, 3 hours. Right? Puffing hookah. Right? You know, come down, Mufti Sahab, join us for hookah. Right? And they'll be there for 3 hours, 4 hours, puffing hookah. But what benefit is there? I don't know. Maybe a little buzz, but just there. We see this a lot in Ramadan. Right? You go to places in Ramadan, there will be gatherings of Muslims just there. Doing what? The blessed nights of Ramadan. They're just standing around. Right? Some person will bring up a topic and that will go on for half an hour, 45 minutes. Something else will join in and the discussion carries on and on. Right? Within the youth, this is a sickness of misusing our time. And consider it to be like, you know, we're just having some leisure time, right? Just chilling out, right? And hours go by like this. This is a misuse of time. Right? We find this sometimes within our family circles also, right? My family keeps on reminding me about that. You should be going to people's houses and you could be visiting them, you know, friends, and we should go there. We have to stay within the culture and, you know. But usually, that's not something bad to keep your relations, to keep connections, to visit people, to say, you know, كيف حالكم, how are you? Are you fine? If they're sick, to go and visit them. This is part of the deen, no doubt. But we've taken it to extremes where people make this like a hobby now. That they would just go to visit someone and stay there for 2-3 hours, just talking about what? Nothing. Basically nothing. Just, you know, what did you cook today? What was yesterday? What are you going to cook tomorrow? And hours go by like this. And they consider this to be, you know, being part of the community, you know, keeping your relations. But really, as a matter of fact, that it's not just maintaining relations, it's wasting a lot of time. Wasting a lot of time. And this is what we call battalin. And they consider this to be part of their daily routine, right? To spend this time, which is actually being wasted. So the scholars, I was just quoting most of this from the book of Shaykh Abdul Fattah, Abu Ghudda, Qimatu Zaman Inda Al-Ulama, The Importance of Time. There's a book, the book's on the shelf too here. I think it's in English, it's translated. And we should take a look at it to remind ourselves of how important every second of our life is. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu would say, "Ma nadimtu ala shay'in, I have not regretted anything more than nadami ala yawmin, than the regret I have for a day, gharabat shamsuhu, whose sun has set," meaning Maghrib has done, that day has passed, غَرَبَتْ شَمْسُهُ نَقَصَ فِيهِ أَجَلِي, and because of that, a day of my life has been decreased, وَلَمْ يَزِدْ فِيهِ عَمَلِي, and none of my actions, good actions, have increased. I have not done anything good in that day. This is the greatest regret I have, that a day of my life has gone, and I haven't moved closer to paradise. I haven't taken a step closer to Allah. I have not progressed in my life. This is the greatest regret, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu says, إِنَّ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ يَعْمَلَانِ فِيكَ فَعْمَلْ فِيهِمَا. The days and nights are working in you. They're eating away at you. So therefore make use of them. And that's why Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, صَحِبْتُ صُوفِيَا. I stayed with the Sufiya and I learned two very important lessons from them. One was al-waqt. إِن لَمْ تَقْطَعَهُ يَقْطَعَكَ. That be careful of your time. If you don't use it, it will eat you away. Meaning it will use you up. It's one or the other. You use that time, or that time will use you up. And the second was an-nafs. إِن لَمْ تُشْغِلْهُ بِالْحَقِّ يُشْغِلْكَ بِالْبَاطِلِ. That your nafs, if you don't force it to do good, the nafs will take you towards evil. Right. So this is the importance of time that our scholars have constantly mentioned. And that is why many of our scholars, if we look at their lives, their day was full. They had no time. Hammad ibn Salama, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi says about Hammad ibn Salama, if it was told to him that tomorrow you are going to die, Hammad ibn Salama, his student says, if it was told to Hammad that you are going to die tomorrow, Hammad would not be able to do anything extra in his life. Meaning that his 24 hours were so full that he wouldn't be able to do anything extra to prepare for death. But he was already doing that. If he was told for us tomorrow that we were going to die, right, our whole 24 hours would come upside down. Right? So, but these were people that they had, every second of their life was full. One thing after the other, right? Something that their heart is not willing to do, something else then. But not to waste that time. Not to let it go by without benefiting from that moment. Ibn al-Jawzi, again, rahimahullah, he wrote a small book, Laftatul Kabid fi Nasihatil Walad. He wrote a book advising his son. And in that book he says about time, he says, Ya Walad, O my son, Ya Bunayya, he says, O my son, days can be divided into hours. إِنَّمَا الْأَيَّامُ تُبْسَطُ بِالسَّاعَاتِ وَالسَّاعَةُ تُبْسَطُ بِالنَّفَسِ بِالْأَنْفَاسِ. And the days can be divided into hours. And hours can be divided into breaths. And then he went on to tell his son, Oh my son, every breath is a treasure. So don't let that treasure go to waste. Because tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, you will find yourself, tomorrow you will stand up on the Day of Judgment and you will see that there will be so many treasures that you had wasted. And that day you will regret it. Every breath is a treasure. He was teaching his son that time is so valuable. So this time that has become so valueless today. Hasan al-Basri also mentioned, أَدْرَكْتُ أَقْوَامًا هُمْ كَانُوا أَحْرَسْ مِنْكُمْ أَحْرَسَ عَلَى الْوَقْتِ مِنْكُمْ عَلَى دَنَانِيرِكُمْ وَدَرَاهِمِكُمْ. Hasan al-Basri says that I found people, he was talking about the Sahaba because he was a Tabi'i. He was talking about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He said, I found people who were more keen on their time than you are keen on your money. The importance you give to your money, they used to give that importance to their time. That's how valuable time was to them. So therefore this new year is a reminder for us that 1 year has gone by. That's a lot of time that has gone by in our life. And we can reflect now as to how those treasures were spent. How that time. I don't know how you spent it, you don't know how I spent it. But I know how I spent my time. And it's for me to now make a resolution that how in the first month of the Islamic calendar, in Muharram, we should make this resolution every year, because it will come every year. That how did I spend my time in the last year? And this time that is to come in the future. Because I don't know when this time is going to end for me. But whatever I have left, I should try to make it valuable. And try to use it. And inshallah, when we start valuing this time, and try to put it to use, put it to some good cause, this time will become blessed for us. Allah will put barakat in our time. And we will see that things will start happening that we could not even imagine. This was the lives of our scholars before us, that if you look in their lives, that how much they did before they left. Shaykh Zakariya rahimahullah, if you look at the amount of books he wrote, the amount of students he had, the work that he had done, and if you look at his lifespan, to a materialistic view, it's impossible to do that much. Right? A human being can't do that much according to the time if you try to divide it up. It's almost impossible to do it. But Allah puts barakah in the time. When He sees that this person is valuing his time, that time is made valuable to him. So therefore this New Year resolution should remind us, or this the month of the new Islamic calendar should give us this reminder every year that time is valuable. My time is going by. How am I using it? How should I be using it? And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us all the tawfiq. May Allah give me first of all the tawfiq to value the time that I have, and all of us to understand the importance of time, and to utilize it to the maximum capacity. May Allah give us all the tawfiq.
Sorry, the sister herself who understands this announcement, I need the book there on my bench downstairs. I had put them right at the top. You didn't bring them off, did you? Remembrance of Death. It's called Remembrance of Death. It's a black color book. And with it, there's another one in Urdu, yellow color. It's there on top of my desk. Ahmed, go downstairs to that side. Sayyid, you can't go. Ahmed, it's disrespect to our cover, never used to take khidmat from people who are descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, forgive me. It's not that people have been doing that. They'll be very hesitant. If somebody will say it, they'll never come do this. So one day Muslim, they wanted to get my socks in the office, and I had to mushrik and Muslim, they ran and finally got it from my students, but I said, no, I can't take khidmat from you people, I'm sorry. Okay. That's the way I cover. Allah enable us to act upon what has been said. Mufti Sahib, Damat Barakatullah, Yom Allah, 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 Yom Barakat and everything. Jazakumullah khairan. Like I said, the main thing is to act upon even one thing. Well, Mufti Sahib said many, many things. Also, we try to fast as much as we can. And, Jazakumullah. Okay. That's Jazakumullah. Perfect. So, Allah enable us to make use of time. Who is here in Maghrib Salat? Put your hands up. Maghrib Salat? Okay. What surah did I read in the first rakah after Surah Fatiha? Everybody knows I read Surah Fatiha. Huh? Wal Asr. What surah did I read? Wal Asr. What does it mean? By the time. Wal Asr. Suratul Asr. The surah of time. A whole surah Allah dedicated to this. It's enough. Qalib and Imam Shafi used to say this surah is enough. Qalib and Imam Shafi's manfuz about the surah, was it here? Yeah. They used to say, this surah is enough to make a person understand. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي. Indeed, all man is at loss. But those إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, but those who bring iman, وَعْمَلِ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ, who command each other, who encourage each other for sabr and haq, truth. This is a great surah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نِعْمَتَانَ مَغْبُونَ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The two ni'mats, much people, many people are lost in concern of these two favors that Allah has given us. As-siha, your health. Wal-faraq. Wal-faraq, we can even say it's time, free time, leisure time. We are the most free people, we're the most perfect and expert of wasting time today. Really, even me, myself. The other week in Jummah, I said, ask 95% of the elders here, including myself, that can you go back? Would you not like to go back and be a 12-year-old talib ilm in the ulum? I said, yeah, I could have studied every single one of those sharas, and now there's no time. There's family, there's this and that. But we waste a lot of time. Allah enable us to, this month of Muharram, Allah enable us to fast on at least the 10th, 9th, 10th, or 10th, 11th. And even if we fast every day, like the greatest siyam is the siyam of this month of Muharram, inshallah.
So Allah enabled us to act upon what Mufti Sahib said. He said it about Abdullah ibn Masood, and Ibn Al-Fuz, Imam Hassan al-Basri, all these things of the Akabir, our Salaf al-Salihin, Allahu Akbar. Really, they made use of their time so much, not even a second went by. Understand? So he mentioned Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakir Ahmad. From there, I'm going to read from his book, The Remembrance of Death. Remembrance of Death. Another thing I just want to mention, one thing about Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali concerning this month. You know, this is something about love. They say, Muhabbat tujhe adab muhabbat siklati hai. Love teaches you all the rules and regulations concerning love. Who told the Sahabas that when Rasulullah ﷺ does wudu, grab his water? Authentic hadith, they used to grab his water. Love taught them that. Love. They were followers. Love teaches you the rules and regulations of love. Once on the 9th or 10th of Muharram in Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, one of them, Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, said, it was 10th of Muharram. He said to my Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib, Yusuf, how many Quran khatams have you done for Ahlul Bayt? Now, my Shaykh says at the beginning of this, when he's narrating this in his book, that many people, okay, only the Shias think of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Ask a grandfather. I can ask my own father-in-law, because he's got only one daughter, and ask him how much he loves my Muhammad or my Yusuf. How much he loves these two kids of his. How much does, especially if it's their daughters, and especially if through this daughter his progeny is going to run and see Sayyidah Nisa al Jannah. Who's this Fatima radiallahu ta'ala? Who's this Ali radiallahu ta'ala? How much connection did he? And from the beginning, Allah showed Rasulullah all these things. And even the day when he was martyred, the dream. And it's ajeeb. There's so much connection Hazrat Hassan and Hussain radiallahu ta'ala had with the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ had with these two. So it is a big thing in history, right? We don't beat ourselves in that. What if we beat ourselves? Is anybody going to benefit? Are we going to benefit, or they're going to? They don't need to benefit. They don't have already amals. They're not. But what do you do for a person who's deceased? What would you do for a person who's deceased? Rasulullah ﷺ in the hadith of Bukhari, he said he's passing by two graves, and he took. A fresh twig, a branch with the leaves which are fresh, green, and you put it onto the grave. And he said, inshallah, as long as these stay green and you do tasbih, it will benefit the inmate of the grave. It will benefit the inmate. Because some people can say, oh, there's no such thing as isali swab, that sending reward to the deceased. It's not going to. Of course it does. When a branch, a green tree can benefit the deceased, then of course sending, you know, making dua, reading Quran, doing tawaf, giving zakat for the deceased will benefit them, inshallah. So as the Shaykh al-Hadith said to my Shaykh on the 10th of Muharram, it's the 10th of Muharram. How many Quran khatams have you done for Ahlul Bayt? Hazrat Hussein and his whole family and Rasulullah's whole family. The Shaykh looked down. What? He said, Alhamdulillah has been my practice since years to teach us, especially as Hufaz. Yakam Muharram se aaj tak har roz ek Quran khatam Ahle Bayt ke liye. From the first of Muharram until today, 10th of Muharram, every single day I do one Quran khatam for Rasulullah's whole family. Every day I do, and I say, Allah send the reward to Rasulullah's family. This is Muhabbat. Understand? So this is something about Muhabbat I was just telling you, because these people used to do. Mawlana was saying that Hazrat, if you look at his works and his life, it's impossible. These people who had, you know, Allah had given so much barakat, blessing in their time. So this book is Remembrance of Death. This is Maut Ki Yaad. Actually, there was two poems. One is of Khaja Azizul Hassan, our Maulana Murshid, who came from Sri Lanka in Ramadan. He used to sing a poetry in Urdu. That was Khaja Azizul Hassan's, which is in here too. Hazrat Tanvi's Khalifa's. And there's two others in Arabic. So I'm going to read the Arabic one with the translation for us. The Remembrance of Death. You know, it says in the hadith, remember that thing in abundance which kills the carnal desires. أُذْكُرَ ذِكْرَ هَذِمَ اللَّذَّاتِ الْمَوْتِ. Remember that thing in abundance which kills the desires is death. And in his last journeys around the world as a shaykh, before he passed away, he used to stress two things. مَوْتْ كَوْ كَسْرَتْ سَيَّارْ كَرَا كَرَوْ. Remember death in abundance, so it will kill your carnal desires, as the hadith even prescribes us. And send much salawat on the Prophet ﷺ, because the ummah has distanced themselves in the connection with Rasulullah ﷺ. And our Salaf al-Salihin was so habitual of reading Salatu wasalam in connection with Rasulullah ﷺ. So two things used to do. And he, on the basis of that, from his, you know, Fadhali Sadqat, his hadith in there, and then this whole book was compiled because of these two, three poetries at the end, Arabic and Khaja Aziz Hassan. So inshallah, this I'm going to read to you. It's just about the remembrance, some things about death inshallah, which we just think it says, you know, every night, even if you sit down 5-10 minutes and you do muraqabah death, you meditate about death, it will help you. For what? For your real life, the life you're after. It'll make us make use of what Maulana's whole speech was, time. Make use of our time. Make this intention today. Today is the second day of this year. Allah, we wasted our life in ghaflat. Allah, enable us to make use of our time and cry for it. Cry for it. Like a baby, a child begs his mother and father for something and he gets it, like the way we cry. Allah, enable us to make use of our time. Enable us that every single second, like Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, it should make us reach our akhirat and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should increase our a'mal towards the akhirat. Because that's our real life, beloved. So Allah enable us to remember death much in abundance. So this is just poetry, inshallah. First, what I'll do is I'll read the Arabic and then the English, and then I will read it in the Qasida style, inshallah. I'm only going to read the first Qasida poem. A poem regarding the remembrance of death, which is the actual reason for the compilation of this booklet. And inshallah, if you guys ever have time, try to read this book in English, Remembrance of Death, and you see how much effect it will have on your life. So this is one is in Urdu, it's a translation of this, as a Shaykh Ahmadullah's book. ضيعت عمرك يا مغرور في غفل قم للتلافي فأنت اليوم في مهدي. O deceived person, you have wasted your life in negligence. Stand up, make amends, for today you have been given respite. واستفرغ الدمع مما فات من زمن واندم بتوب على أيامك الأولى. Shed tears for time you have lost, and by repenting be ashamed over your past life. بادر إلى صالح الأعمال مجتهدا فالنجح في الجهد والحرمان في الكسب. Advance towards good deeds by striving, because in striving there is success, and in laziness there is deprivation. قل لا محالة في الدنيا كمغتربا على رحيل دنا وعبر سبيلي. Live in this world as if you are a traveler on a journey, or rather like a wayfarer. Like Rasulullah ﷺ himself has said in hadith, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر السبيل. Be in this world as though you are a stranger or wayfarer. If a person is intending to go from here to Montreal, right? He's going on 401 West and he stops at a service station. What would he do? What does a person do in a service station? He fills up gas, he goes to the washroom, he might go to Tim Hortons and have a coffee and get a little bit fresh. Will he sit there and think, I have to paint the Tim Hortons, doesn't look good. We have to put these lights new. I have to paint this. I have to do this. So he only goes for his hajj. So be in this world as a, like that. He only for the purpose that, you know, eat, drink, and sleep a little, for the purpose that we need, whatever we need, necessity. But our real life is the life hereafter. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. This dunya is a plantation for the life hereafter. So this is also in the hadith, which is in this poetry here. Live in this world as if you are a traveler or on a journey, or rather like a wayfarer. أَهْدَارُ الْخُلُودِ مَقَامًا دَارُ آخِرَةٍ إِنَّ الْإِقَامَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَى أَجْلِ. The everlasting residence is only the akhirah, the life hereafter. Living in this world is only until an appointed time. وَكُلُّ مَنْ حَلَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَمُرْتَحِيلٌ يَوْمًا لِمَنْزِلَةٍ فِي أَثْرِ مُرْتَحِيلِ. Whoever has come into this world has to journey one day towards his abode immediately after one another. هل اعتبرت فكم حلوا وكم رحلوا وإنما الناس في حل ومرتحل. Have you ever taken heed as to how many have arrived and departed from here? And whoever has arrived here has come to depart. إذا تجهم أمر لا مرد له لم يغني عنك الاقتناء المال والخولي. When that irresistible calamity, death, irresistible, Allah says, حتى يأتيك اليقين, until yaqeen comes to you, that nobody doubts, irresistible, will occur, when the irresistible calamity death will occur, then richness and wealth, attendance and servants will not help you the least. يقوم عنك الأطباء والصديق إذن وقد طووا صحف التدبير والحيل. At that time, doctors and friends will, after trying all plans to save you, leave you in the lurch. فيدرجونك في الأكفان منتزعا أنك الثياب من الأبراد والحلل. After removing the fine clothes from your body, they will wrap you up in the cloths of kafan. ويودعونك تحت الأرض منفردا ويتركونك محجوبا من المقل. They will leave you alone in the depths of the earth, and they will conceal you from being seen. وقائل منهم قد كان خير أب وقائل منهم قد كان خير ولي. Just the first, this one here, they will leave you alone in the depths of the earth, and they will conceal you from being seen. If a person just sits If you've been to a graveyard and you've buried a deceased, right? He's about how many foot down? About 6-7 foot down. And then what do? We throw sand over him, we leave. Just picture yourself in a dark room. And if you're 7 foot under the ground and just sand comes over you, soil comes over you, picture that self. How would you feel? Picture that self. Remembrance. They say remembrance of death. Do meditation of death. And see how much, then, oh, this dunya, you detach yourself from it. And you attach yourself from that which is to come afterwards. So they will leave you alone in the depths of the death of the earth, and they will conceal you from being seen. وَقَائِلٍ مِّنْهُمْ قَدْ كَانَ خَيْرَ أَبٍ وَقَائِلٍ مِّنْهُمْ قَدْ كَانَ خَيْرَ وَلِيٍّ. Some will say that he was a very good father, and others will say he was a very good friend. وَقَائِلٍ قَدْ حَبَّاهُ اللَّهُ مَغْفِرَةً وَقَائِلٍ طَابَ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الرَّجُلِ. Some will say, may Allah forgive him, and others will say he lived a very good life in this world. فَبَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لَا يَذُرُونَ مَا فَقَدُوا وَهُمْهُمْ فِي اِقْتِصَامِ الْإِرْثِ وَالْجَدَلِ. And after saying all this, after all the lip service, they won't even know who departed. All their attention would be directed in fighting for the distribution of the estate. وَبَعْضُهُمْ مَعَ بَعْضٍ فِي مُخَاسَمَةٍ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَبَيْنَ مَنْصُورٍ وَمُنْخَضَلِ. They will argue and file lawsuits against one another, and thereafter some will emerge as winners and others as losers. وَيَأْخُذُونَ قَرِيبًا فِي مَعَايِشِهِمْ لَا يَذْكُرُونَكَ فِي خَلْمٍ وَمُحْتَفَلِ. Then very swiftly they will engage themselves in the business of filling their bellies. They will not remember you in solitude nor in public. Ya ayyuhal ghirru la taghururuka suhbatuhum khayrul masahibi indi salihul amali. O deceive, do not be deceived by their company. The best of companions is good deeds. Fima attaghaful wal ayyamu da'iratun fima attakasul wal ahwalu fil hawali. Why then this negligence when the days are passing by? Why then this laziness when the conditions are changing? فِيمَ الْعَوِيلُ لَدَى دَارُ خَلَتْ وَعَفَتْ فِيمَ الْبَكَاءُ عَلَى الْآثَارِ وَالْطَلَلِ. Why cry over a house which is desolate and whose remains have been effaced? Why wail upon monuments and ruins? فِيمَ التَّصَابِ وَأَيَّامُ الصَّبَاءِ غَبَرَتْ فِيمَ النَّسِيبُ وَلَا إِبْبَانَ لِلْغَزَلِ. Why then this childishness when childhood days have passed? Why then these poems when the time of poetry has passed? وَكَيْفَ تَلْعَبُ وَالْخَمْسُونَ كَدْ كَمُلَتْ وَكَيْفَ تَلْهُ وَنَارُ الشِّيبُ فِي شُغَلِ. What is the meaning of play and fun when 50 years of life have passed? When the fire of old age has raged, then what is the meaning of fun and play? فَدَعْ ذِكْرَ لَيْلَى وَلُبْنَى وَازْدِيَارَهُمَا كَمْ ارْتِحَالُهُمَا مِنْ هَذِي الْحِلَلِ. Discard the talks of meeting and separation of Layla and Lubna now. تلك الغواني وإن أخلصنا خلتها والله لسنا بريايات من الدخل. These unfaithful beautiful women, no matter how much love and sincerity they may express, yet by the oath of Allah they are not free of vice. حب الحبائب حرمان ومندمة فالغول عاقبة للشارب الثمد. The love of these beautiful women is only deprivation and grief, and the end result of liquor is only intoxication and consciousness. إبرع إلى كل حب من محبته وثق بحب رسول الله واتقلي. Abstain from the love of every beloved and make strong the bond of love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa baraka sallam, and rely only on it. هو الذي حبه فوز ومكرمة وحبه آية الإيمان فاكتملي. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is success, honor, and sign of iman, hence perfected. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يؤمن. None of you can be a perfect believer. حتى يكون لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَالَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. None of you can be a perfect believer until I become more beloved to him than his father, his son, and the whole world. So this will benefit. The love of Rasulullah is success, honor, and signs of iman, hence perfected. وَحُبُّهُ الْعُرْوَةُ الْوُثْقَى لَنْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَلَنْفِصَامَ لِحَبْلٍ مِّنْهُمْ مُتَّصِلِ. The love of Rasulullah is that strong rope which will never snap, and the relationship which is attached to Rasulullah is unbreakable. يَا حَبَّذَا حُبُّهُ نُسٌ لِمُنْفَرِدٍ ذُخْرٍ لِمُدَّخِرِ زَادٌ لِمُنْتَقِلِ. How wonderful the love of Rasulullah is, a means of attachment and friendship for a man, the best treasure for an accumulator of wealth, and a provision for a traveler. الْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ اشْكُرْ لِقَائِلِهِ وَذَاكَ وَعْدٌ بِلَا خُلْفٍ وَلَا خَطَلِ. Acknowledged the bounty of that great being who has said, a person will be with whom he loves. This is an absolute promise wherein there's no idle talk. أحبه ولذا أرجو شفاعته إن المحب من المحبوب في أملي. I love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this basis. I have hope in the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lover has hope in his beloved. Sinu salami lah al-asnanu al-asimatun. Wadhaq Allahu sinna sinna bil-qubuli. The teeth of the letter seen in the word salam, meaning greeting, is laughing. May Allah Ta'ala keep the teeth of the letter seen, always smiling. Shughlu salati alayhi wa salam. Kafa fa barakallahu li fi dhalika shughli. The occupation, taking the time of sending salat and salam on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is sufficient. May Allah Ta'ala grant me blessings in this occupation. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala nabiyika taha sayyidul rusuli. Oh Allah, sends perpetually and ever salatu salam upon your Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taha, the leader of all the messengers. Then the second poetry, laysa al-ghalib minuk. I'm only going to do one. There's a whole other 3-4 pages of Arabic in the translation, but I'm only going to do one for today, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
ضيعت عمرك يا مغرور في غفل قم للتلافي فأنت اليوم في محل مهني واستفرغ الدمع مما فات من زمن واندم بتوب على أيامك الولي بادر إلى صالح الأعمال مجتهدا فالنجح في الجهد والحرمان في الكسل قل لا مهالة في الدنيا كم غترب على رحيل دنا وعابر السبل دار الخلود مقاما دار آخرة إن الإقامة في الدنيا إلى جلي وكل من حل في الدنيا فمرتحل يوما لمنزله في أثر مرتحل هل اعتمرت فكم حلوا وكم رحلوا وإنما الناس في حل ومرتحل إذا تجهم أمر لا مرد له لم يغن عنك اقتناء المال والخبل يقوم عنك الأطباء والصديق إذا وقد له صحف التدبير والحيل فيدرجونك في الأكفان منتزعا أنك الثياب من الأبراد والحلل ويودعونك تحت الأرض منفردا ويتركونك محجوبا من المقل وقائل منهم قد كان خير أبي وقائل منهم قد كان خير ولي وقائل قد حباه الله مغفرة وقائل طاب في الدنيا من الرجل فبعد ذلك لا يدرون ما فقدوا وهمهم في اقتسام الإرث من الجدل وبعضهم مع بعض في مخاصمة وإنهم لبين منصور ومنخذل ويأخذونك قريبا في معيشهم لا يذكرونك في خلم ومحتفل يا أيها الغر لا ضررك صحبتهم خير المصاحب عندي صالح العمل فيما التغافل والأيام دائرة فيما التكاسل والأحوال في الحبل فيما العميل لدى دار خلت عفت فيما البكاء على الآثار والطرني فيما التصابي وأيام الصبا غورت فيما النسيب ولا إبان للغزل وكيف تلعب والخمسون قد كملت وكيف تلهو ونار الشيب في شعل فدع ذكر ليلى ولبنى وازديارهما ثم ارتحالهما من هذه الحلل تلك الغوانم إن أخلصن خلتها والله لسن بيات من الدخل حب الحبائب حرمان ومندمة فالغول عاكبة للشارب الثمن ابرأ إلى كل حب من محبته وثق بحب رسول الله واتقني هو الذي حبه فوز ومكرمة وحبه آية الإيمان فاكتملي وحبه والعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها ولا انفصام لحبل منه متصلي يا حبذا حبه أنس لمنفرد ذكر لمدخر زاد لمنتقل المرء مع من أحب أشكر لقائله وذاك وعد بلا خلف ولا خطل أحبه ولذا أرجو شفاعته إن المحب من المحبوب في أملي سين السلام لها الأسنان باسمة فضحك الله سن السين للقبر شغل الصلاة عليه والسلام كفى فبارك الله لي في ذلك الشغل يا رب صل وسلم نائما أبدا على حبيبك طه سيد الرسل يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
صلى الله سبحانه وتعالى enable us to act upon what has been said, read. Allah enable us to prepare for our real life, the life hereafter. Allah enable us to make use of our time. Allah accept our gathering here. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ InshaAllah.
I would like to thank, I mean, this is a normal practice to thank, but thanking is not an important thing in the eyes of Allah. Whatever we do, good things, Allah will reward us. So we have to say Jazakallah for the people who are doing good things for us. So first of all, I have to say Jazakallah for Mufti Abdullah Mughira. Whenever we requested him, I mean, to have a bayan, he, without any hesitation, he agreed to do the bayan, mashallah. He enlightened us with the Quran and Hadith. May Allah bless him. We have to thank him, inshallah. Nozumar Zakaria. He enlightened us with the Quran and Hadith and also the verse from Salafus Salihin. So may Allah bless him. Also, I have to thank Brother the Hafiz Sheikh. We had Hafiz Arif to Qirat to do the Qirat, but he didn't come. Maulana requested Hafiz Sheikh, immediately he came in with the salvation. So we have to thank him too. And also, I have to thank you, brothers and sisters, because I mean, spending your time. And with the busy schedule, you all came here to benefit from these talks and the programs. And as Maulana said, I mean, number is not important. I mean, I can remember sometime back Maulana said, I mean, when Maulana was coming to a village and he was making a special bayan, he's a very special scholar, and he came and he was doing bayan. I mean, the whole village was gathered to attend the gathering and then listen to his bayan. And finally, I mean, gathering was over. He was getting ready to go, leave. And then one brother was coming in a bicycle or something, or running, and coming in. He is very, very anxious to listen to the bayan, but he missed the bayan because, I mean, he was stuck somewhere. And then Maulana, he came and gave salam to Maulana and said, Maulana, I missed your bayan. And Maulana said, I mean, brother, you came all over from this place to listen to my bayan. But I will do the same bayan for you, I mean, keeping you. I mean, he kept that person and did the whole bayan again. And that's the ikhlas, basically speaking. So, I mean, people, we have scholars, alhamdulillah, so they do with the ikhlas. It is not necessary, I mean, we have to have thousands of people to do the bayan. and the people who are the ikhlas, I mean, they will do even with one person. We see 1% can benefit, I mean, we will get the reward. I mean, maybe 1,000 people will be there. I mean, nobody benefits, it's not worth actually. But I mean, few people there, I mean, the people who come here, they come with a thirst to learn things and also to do the ibadah. So whatever we hear, inshallah, if we can put it in practice, alhamdulillah, so we will get the reward, and also the people who make the bayan and motivate us also will give the reward, inshallah. So may Allah bless every one of you, and everyone should go in the right path, inshallah. Whatever we learn, we put it in practice, inshallah. So, I mean, just listening to bayan, I mean, we can learn things, I mean, even if you go to internet, if you just go in Google, type anything, you can get the articles. If we type just Muharram, and we can get thousands of articles. If you read it, I mean, you can learn. But it does not give us the spiritual elevation, basically. So it is important to come close to the knowledgeable people and come and sit with them and come to the mahol and come to the environment and in the masjid and sit in front of the people, I mean, who has the taqwa and piety. And if you listen to those bayans, Allah will give us or elevate us in the elevator spiritual level. So may Allah give us the tawfiq to act upon whatever we hear, inshallah. Once again, I thank everyone, and also I thank the brothers who made some refreshment as well. So inshallah, please stay behind and we will give some refreshment as well. So jazakumullah khair. And also, I just want to mention that brothers, and alhamdulillah, so we have great scholars connected to the masjid, and also they don't do things for name and fame, but they do for the sake of Allah. So it is our responsibility to take part in those programs and benefit. Even myself, I mean, I sometimes think I don't benefit from Maulana Zakaria, because I mean, we have a very important class is going on every Thursday. So brothers from all over Greater Toronto coming to this program, but we don't come. We don't come. The people who live close, and we don't come and take part and get benefit from this program. And also Mufti Abdullah, he's been doing Alim courses, part-time Alim courses. It's a very useful program. I mean, some of the youngsters are really getting benefit from those classes, but we don't get benefit. So inshallah, so we have to spread the word, and we have to benefit from these ulamas, and I mean, we have to elevate ourselves from, I mean, whatever we are in now. JazakAllah khair.
It's not a very important point that Sayyid said at the end, but you can still on the internet. And I was just talking this about 3-4 months, and I talked about Ibrahim Salat wa Salam. And I said, a person can sit back nowadays and you can get everything sitting back on a chair comfortably, right? With a cushion at the back, you sit back on the internet. But listen, you're just coming, you're spending your gas, you're walking, you're all this effort. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَ اللَّهِ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive in our path, indeed we guide into our path. Mujahada, today we haven't even done iota of mujahada for the sake of being Allah and His Rasul. The sacrifice. And this is exactly what I was telling. I said, a person could sit on the internet today or just sit back, but just coming to the masjid, benefiting from Mufti Sahib, coming here, we don't know whose heart is so connected to Allah. Maybe a child, maybe a person with white beard. Whose heart is so connected to Allah because of one person's class, everybody's blessed. This is the blessing of these gatherings. So like he said, and he said, I'm so happy that he remembered the story. I always say about Hazrat Maulana Ismail Shaheed, the one he just said. And when Maulana was going out, and the person, he's done bayan, the whole bayan, 1 hour. And then when people said, you could have said that the other villages where your bayan is, you could repeat the whole same bayan, and he could have come there. So he said that one Allah that I done the whole bayan for 1 hour, that one Allah is still here. And he's still, that one Allah is, so even if he's one. So you know this ikhlas, the one Rashid Ahmad Rumgoi said about Shah Ishmael Shaheed and the past going before him. One book, Sirat-i Mustaqim, even in Saudi Arabia, it's translated in Arabic. This book, Sirat-i Mustaqim, he said, this is the amount that was known, we don't know how much others. He said 10,000 people who are on the bridge of Irtidad going out of the fold of Islam because of this one book. They, Allah kept them on Islam because of this one book. This is one book of this month, Shaykh Shah Ishmael Shaheed on today. This is the ikhlas they had, sincere. Allah give us sincere for that.
Mufti Sahib,
what?
Did you just Rabbana taqabbal minna? Huh? Akullah? Akullah?
Bismillah.
Everything she just read. Allah, accept each one of us, accept each one of us, Allah, accept each ummati of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad. Allah, the weak a'mal which we put forward, Allah, accept through your mercy, through your graciousness, through your kindness, through your loving and affection, Allah, accept our weak ibadah which we put forward. Allah, time is passing by, we wasted so much of our seconds of our life, Allah, forgive us, and Allah, enable us to make use of our time, enable us to do such a'mal which pleases you, which pleases Rasulullah, which a'mal which we can bring to you and to your Prophet, Allah, on the day of judgment, Allah, that you will be pleased with us, and also will get holy both from the Maker, Rasulullah. Allah, make us do such things which will please you. Allah, give us a death in the state of Iman. Allah, protect our progeny. Allah, protect the Ummah. Forgive the Ummah. Guide the Ummah. Allah, change the situation of the Ummah of the Prophet, Rasulullah. Allah, forgive the Ummah of the Prophet, Rasulullah. Allah, guide the Prophet, Rasulullah. Allah, make us a means of guidance. Allah, accept the Asa'ah. Allah, we ask for all those things of the Prophet Muhammad. Ask for we seek refuge from all those things of the Prophet Muhammad. Seek refuge. Allah, many in this gathering have some hajjat, and even our friends and people who have ihsan upon us, favors upon us, they told us to make dua for them, wrote to us to make dua for them. Allah, you know their hajjat, you know their need. And all our brothers and sisters who are here, they have some need. Allah, you fulfill their need, which is in the best for them, which is in the best for their dunya and akhirah. Allah, any person we've hurt in any manner, him or her, forgive us and do not take us to account for that. Give him or her the best of this dunya and akhirah. Allah, accept us all. Allah, we ask for all those things that the Prophet Muhammad has asked for. We seek refuge from all those things that the Prophet Muhammad has also seek refuge from. Allah, we seek refuge from the Prophet Muhammad has also seek refuge from. Allah, we seek refuge from the Prophet Muhammad has also seek refuge from. Allah, we seek refuge from the Prophet Muhammad has also seek refuge from. Allah, we seek refuge from the Prophet Muhammad has also seek refuge from.